I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week we're in the same room.
Yeah!
Well now, this is weird. For the first time in the short history of this podcast, we're in the same room.
We are, same hotel room. Distancing, obs.
Socially distanced, but we've got long cables on our microphones, not a euphemism.
Well, we're going to use them.
We're in a hotel room just near the world famous Goodwood Motor Circuit.
Glorious.
No, we swore we weren't going to say glorious Goodwood because it's such a fucking cliche.
Okay, what else could we say?
Gauntlet
riding.
Gorgeous Goodwood.
Oh yeah, gorgeous.
Garrulous Goodwood.
Gregarious Goodwood.
Gout-ridden Goodwood.
Gouty Goodwood.
Gouty Goodwood. So much rich meat and cheese. Goodwood that's walking with a limp now.
I absolutely love a gout-ridden Goodwood.
Ruddy of nose and gammy of foot. Goodwood's had a little bit too much pate and cheese.
Here we are with the gout pre, and we go. Here we are. It's time for a standing start, whereby you're a Le Mans running to the vehicles. And as you can see, there are slightly rotund gentlemen are now waddling to the cars. They've already had their strictly timed measure of fortified wine, and now they're going. They're going to be climbing with help into their vehicles, lap belts only on this occasion.
Oh God, only lap belts, yes. There's no...
Only lap belts. I mean, of course, as you can see, mandatory passenger seat, there's a venison burger. Just like the Joker lap on Rallycross, they have to consume it before the end of the race. In any style they fancy. Goodness.
Now, what are we doing? What are we doing here? It's a more philosophical
Rich,
question.
Rich, we've got some paid work.
We've got some paid work as a double act, as a sort of, what did you say the other day? Poundland Anton Deck.
Yes.
So we've been doing some actual presenting on the Goodwood Speed Week live stream. By the time you listen to this, it'll all be over, but you can watch it, you can catch up with it. There's some highlights this coming week.
I think they're going to put it on YouTube.
ITV,
yeah.
Yeah, because I've already looked back at some of the things we did today on YouTube.
What, just to make sure they're not crap?
Well, because it's live and there's a lot going on. There's car racing and there's all sorts of little other events, and they've got a big team of presenters led by the doyen of primetime Make It Look Easy excellence, Dermot O'Leary, lovely man.
Yeah.
And so if he's at one end of the spectrum of presenting slick, seamless, professional, then there's various other people who Sean Welby off the radio and other things, and Rory Reed, ex of Top Gear, and
Mark Webber,
who is not only
tall Australian,
quite
accomplished driver,
quite good at presenting, quite good at driving. I'm kind of underselling him on both counts.
He's brilliant
and really funny as well, which is just irritating. It's like he's triple threat.
I know. It is a bit annoying, isn't it?
And then there's us filling in the gaps. And the reason I was checking back what we'd done today is because there was a bit where, and I've never done live television or broadcasting of any kind before, where sometimes if you have an earpiece, someone just says, right, go, start speaking now. And you have to start speaking. And we were asked to start speaking about some cars that had, in fact, driven off.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We're supposed to do an immaculately timed thing with a grid full of cars. But unfortunately, we got timed in 5 minutes late and all the cars had long gone.
We did manage to stop short of going, they fucked off, like Peter O'Hanrahan on the day-to-day. Peter, you've lost the cars. Yeah, they've gone. They've got in a cab. But the cars had driven off, so there was nothing to talk about that was in vision, and we had to just sort of try and remember what we'd just seen and then recap it. And then just as we were doing that, they told us to shut up.
I'll tell you what was good, though. Last night, we got a sort of Goodwood lock-in because we were going to leave as it was getting dark. And then we realised that we couldn't actually get home to our cars because there was a rally stage on.
That was really cool.
And it was, and it felt authentic. It was suddenly very cold.
It was very cold. And you had a bobble hat.
I did bring a beanie in my bag. About that. So suddenly I felt rally spec. So I put the orange beanie on. It didn't have 555 on it or martini or anything. But I felt good. And then we went and watched. We actually watched some. We felt turbo lag.
Oh man, it was so interesting as well. Well, just to give people a rundown of the cars, there were, from the top, a Mark II Escort, lovely, yep, classic, 205 T16, and a 205 GTI, actually, as well, just for good measure.
There was.
Two Metro 6 R4s.
Yeah. One Stratos, Golden Wonder spec, yeah, one computer vision.
I love the Golden Wonder one, because it's the lesser spotted 6R4, isn't it?
Yeah.
A Stratos.
Which sounded amazing.
Escort Cosworth.
Focus,
Focus RS McRae spec, a legacy, a Subaru legacy McRae spec, Rothmans,
yeah,
lovely
legacy RS, yeah.
They're running for some reason a couple of those new Yaris GR, Kazoo Racing, and it was just interesting to see. And what else? I had loads of stuff. Loads of Quattros, original
Integrale.
Quattro. Integrale.
The short wheelbase Quattro, one that looks like it's been, I don't know, damaged at birth. And then the other one, the normal one.
Yeah.
Five cylinder, lovely. Yeah, the Lancia Y037. What is that really called? I can't remember.
No, there wasn't one of those. There was a Stratos, and there was a Delta Integrale. There's an S4 kicking around, but it didn't do that thing we watched last night.
Oh, I know. This Carlos Sainz Celica.
Yes,
which was being driven hard.
Yeah, it was really nifty.
I saw some flamey exhausts on the go through the trees.
Because one of the things that interested me, I was going to say, is about how turbo lag through the ages. Because you watched the second sort of half of it when we went to that different vantage position and we were watching them come spearing off the start-finish straight of the track, and they went to that area where they had to do a...
A mandatory pirouette
around some hay bales. And it was really... And they did it twice. They had two runs at it. And the Escort Cosworth noticeably bogged down off boost trying to get out of that little area.
It did.
And immediately after it, Focus RS... Its successor just didn't. And the modern stuff, there was a Polo, wasn't there? A modern Polo.
Like a 1-year-old, 2-year-old.
Yeah, WRC and a 208 as well. Modern WRC spec. And they just pissed off like a pair
they
of bastards.
Like surgeon's knives.
It was incredible, wasn't it? But that's the thing, the Celica was one of them. And I don't know whether it's because some of them are a bit older and people were taking it a bit easy, but there were proper drivers in there, weren't there? And I don't think proper racing drivers / rally drivers know how to take it easy in a competitive environment. But I just felt like the Celica looked... The body language of the car was more like a modern
one. It did. It looked good.
And they were, as you say, scalpel sharp.
Yeah.
So that was a real treat last night, wasn't it? Staying late. I mean, we had to stay late because we literally couldn't leave the track, much to the chagrin of our friend Roy Reed, who really wanted to go home or back to his hotel and was told, no, you're trapped here. And then when we did get out, when the rally cars had finished, for some reason the gates were shut. And we kind of got locked in, and a group of people decided they would open the gates of their own doing, and the lady at the lead of this pack turned to us as she unlocked the gate and went, ready, as if we were escaping from prison. But yeah, that was a real treat.
Glorious Gouty Goodwood.
And then today we saw the Jerry Marshall Trophy race.
Oh my gosh.
Which was just an overload for the senses of wonderful things from minis, as a mini clubman, and two mini estates, or countrymen's, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Old school, not talking about...
But everything, because this event is a mashup of the Revival and the Festival of Speed, you had pre-70s stuff and then post-70s stuff. So you had mini metros...
Yes.
Fiestas.
Mark 1 Golf GTI.
Mark 2 VW Sirocco.
Yeah.
Again, and the Triumph Doggershite Sprints. and then Rover SD1s. And then you had the usual fare of, what's the usual kind of Shazam that goes
on? Well, there's some 70s Camaros in there, weren't there? And a 60s one as well. And a 60s Mustangs?
Yeah. Or 70s. Very early 70s. 70 and a 71.
And... BMW.
Well, the 5 series, the UFO genes one.
E28 5 series in there.
Oh, that's an early E number, that.
Yeah. And
but it was, the sound was brilliant.
The sound was sensational, and yeah, such a rich tapestry of, so a couple of those minis sounded proper fruity. There was that one you pointed out to me, it came in the pits, there was a mandatory driver change, and one of the minis came in the pits and sat down
idling
below us, idling, because they had to stay in the pits for a certain amount of time to make the COVID safe driver change fair. And
yeah, they were wet wiping in between driving.
There was a lot of wet wiping, and then you saw that man who appeared to have some COVID-safe Fanta that he was accidentally spilling everywhere.
I thought he was just, you know, like aftershave, you know, sort of doing an overzealous aftershave throw on. You know, like just Friday night, you're going out, you're totally going. I think he accidentally just tipped a bit of Fanta over the driver change because he was trying to. I think he was trying to help. He did what I did earlier, is I tried to take a photograph of Nigel Mansell's Formula One, the Canon Honda
Michael Mansell. He wasn't so successful. And
I tried to take a picture, having just bought you and I a coffee.
Mm.
And instead of putting the coffees down, like a complete blooming tool, I thought I'd take a picture whilst holding them in one hand, and I got slightly scolded and dropped my own coffee. And I think this, what this guy tried to help with, the, you know, the quick change involves tightening the belts of the driver.
Yeah.
All the race harnesses are real faff. I think he already opened a bottle of Fanta. He kind of just sort of, he leapt in and he kind of tipped Fanta it. So you're about to go out, and you're the second driver, so you've got to go out hot, blazing.
Yes.
And you've got a lap full of Fanta, which does look like a really dehydrated piss.
Yeah, you need to drink more water, mate, and also not piss yourself in the car. Someone threw Fanta over me in the pit.
It's a half-hour race.
Yeah, of course it did, mate.
It's not even an endurance race. You can't just wazz yourself. Well, hang on, come on.
The other highlight, I mean, I can say this now because at the time it looked like it could have actually caused a really bad incident, but one of the highlights was that a mini clubman dumped a load of oil on the track right by, if anyone's familiar with that Goodwood circuit, just as they come back onto the start-finish straight, before they do, there's the chicane.
Oh, yeah.
And it ditched a load of oil right there, because it just went pop just before the pits. And and then everyone was having a rice old slither.
Oh, the Capri, the motorcraft Capri.
God. Yeah. Well, wow. Leading, that Camaro was in the lead at the time. I thought he'd properly lost it, and actually he held onto the lead and everything, but not before he'd applied an awful lot of opposite lock in both directions.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty flaily.
in a competent way.
Also, some of the drivers as well, because you've got like Tom Christensen, and you know, who is a fairly decorated Le Mans hero.
Yeah.
Multiple winner, king of Denmark, and he was driving in it, and our friend Dickie Meaden of Evo magazine, amongst others, he was in there. Jason Potato,
he was in it.
With
Mustang Mach 1, was he?
With his exposed nipple shirt on underneath.
Yeah. Well, he's very proud of it. He's a well decorated driver, which involves his nipple decoration.
But yeah, per a previous podcast of our show, with his exposed nipple, he had an exposed nipple.
He phoned me up after hearing that, and he said it made his day. He said, I laughed about all day about you name-checking me in my nipple T-shirt. And that's what I love about Jason.
Good,
and
Tiff, yes.
Tiff's racing tomorrow.
We're going to catch up with Tiff. We saw, I guess it's just becoming all a bit lovey-dovey, like, lovely friends. But we're nice to see another mutual friend of ours, Vicky Butler-Henderson.
Our lights keep going out in this hotel room.
It's a bit spooky,
isn't
it?
You can't see this, but it is, and it is in a very Partridge hotel room.
It's really Partridge. Your room is nicer than mine. We're in Johnny's room. Johnny's room is nicer than mine because Johnny's got a bed that is too big for his room. His bed is basically so big it's a big square, but it's too big for the room. My room has a normal size double bed, but that's too small for the room, and I have a lot of floor space, which makes my room feel very bleak, particularly because someone has nicked the picture off the main feature wall and there's just some screws left, and it adds a certain sort of bleak quality to it. I haven't looked in your bathroom. Have you got really 90s tiles?
Go and have a look. Go and have a look. In fact, the chair you sat on looks like an Aztec jacket.
Oh yeah, they're quite nice.
Is that the same?
Yeah, mine are worse, but it's all this hotel. I think we can say this now because by the time this podcast goes out, we'll have checked out, and then I'll remember I've left my wallet behind, and they'll go, "No, you're not having it because we've heard your podcast and you're being rude about our hotel. The fact it was built in 1992 and hasn't been redecorated since." But
I'm just looking to see if there's anything cool in the drawers.
It's hard to describe it, except that it's got the feeling of a badly run old people's home about the decor.
No, it's all right. I know. Do you know, we've stayed in so many dives in this game.
Yeah.
This one's pretty good.
I usually just think if the bed's all right, which it is.
My bed's
and the shower works and is hot enough, which it is.
Yeah, then, it is, yeah.
You know, basically everything else is gravy. There is no gravy, though, I've looked, but there is instant coffee. And they let me have a mint tea bag from the restaurant for free last night.
Yeah, they did. And the girl gave you two, which I think that's flirting.
I know. What do you think?
Two tea bags when you ask for one.
What, do you think she's inviting herself back to my room?
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of it.
No, nor had I until you said it. And I don't think
she was very good at her job.
Yeah, she was, actually. I was thinking, you're too competent for this hotel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm
exactly.
Not being mean about that hotel. I'm just smarting because you've got a bigger bed than me. So
I like the fact that you know you're at a race weekend because, A, the hotel's fully booked, but, B, the car park, we're the only people that have turned up without a Land Rover Discovery and an aerodynamic covered trailer.
Yeah.
Everyone else has exactly that.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
or a 911 with a racing sticker somewhere on it discreetly.
Yes, a filthy 911 with a racing sticker or a BRDC sticker, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I did say to you, didn't I, when we stepped out of the hotel yesterday morning, that I felt like at some point this weekend I was going to be run over and killed by a Discovery 4 with a Brian James trailer behind it.
Because
the roads are thick with them.
Yeah,
And it's good. And then, I mean, it's. What's more interesting is what the Discovery 4s with the trailers are bringing have brought to Goodwood this weekend, because we've been wandering around the paddock.
It's been flipping marvellous.
Unbelievable. It's
I've had the camera out the whole time.
That's a good point, actually. I was going to say, because I don't know where to begin, but, like, you know, if you're a fan of all of the Jaguars that competed in Le Mans in the late 80s, the
Silt
XJR Cup 8s and 9s and so on.
Yeah,
well, they're all here. They're all here. The gang's all here. It's nuts.
I've never seen so many in a line. Was there four or five in a line?
There were five.
Five then there was in a line.
Six. There was an XJR 6 that I think was that just popped out from somewhere that's not in the Silt Cup colours. There's a Racing XJS as well, which always looks mega. And Porsches at the Yin Yang.
Yeah. They've 917.
917. And 917 just casually.
Just idling.
Idling. Flat 12.
Blimmin' mad thing. Looks like it's made of balsa wood.
I think some of it is.
Yeah, I think some of it
is. They're always smaller than you think in real life, aren't they? Well, yeah. I think, I don't know. I just. All those endurance cars, because there's a 919 here as well, isn't there?
And
that's smaller than you think.
Yeah. That's right. There's some fairly modern Le Mans cars.
A 956. They've got that. They brought that 993 GT2R. Is it?
Is it, or a cup?
A cup thing, but it's super, super rare thing with riveted on arches.
Looks sweet.
Broken when we were looking at it. It had a bit of a fueling problem, but they were on it. They got some people come over from. It's from the Porsche Museum in Germany. It's just been restored. Looks mega. And then just. I think it was a 914 I saw, and
I saw Jackie Stewart's back today.
Did you?
Yeah,
three-time world championship winning back of Jackie Stewart.
Well, I knew it was him because although it was quite loud because all the sort of historic Formula One cars had been struck up and they were idling.
Mm.
I think he was being interviewed at the front of it because I saw he was either wearing a tartan cap, of course, or a part of his race suit was tartan again. Of course.
Well, of course. I saw him on the coverage being interviewed by Mark Webbo.
Yeah.
Webber. And he was wearing his trademark tartan cap, but he had a matching tartan face mask.
Oh, did he?
Mm.
Very, yeah. Very COVID.
I realised I was such a thick twat. You know, I delayed our leaving the hotel this morning because I suddenly thought I'd better just do a little shave to trim my beard into shape and forgot I'd be wearing a face mask all day and no one can see.
I suddenly went,
I just need to trim around the edges of my beard because I'm going to be on telly, sort of. And then I forgot I'm not. That bit of me isn't going to be anywhere near the telly because it's under a mask. They did let us take our masks off for the end of the day, didn't they? Because we were all distanced around the fire. Yeah, Jackie Stewart was... Who else did
he's
I
He's so tartan, right? He's I never so finished tartan. What I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry.
So tartan, unconvinced. And he's also... He's quite kind of quietly spoken, very level-headed individual,
yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I have a hunch that he has a full body tattoo from the neck down.
Of what? Of himself?
No, of his own family tartan.
So even when he's naked, he's fully tartan.
Oh, like, he could run down the pit lane tomorrow
and people just
and it would just be... Okay, it's slightly weird. Jackie's wearing a body stocking. But it's not. That is painted skin.
I can see his cock.
That's painted skin. It's painted skin.
How many hours of ink work would that require to have full tartan body?
He could get into his race car with a lot out.
Yeah.
But because he's all inked in tartan...
Is that Nomex, eh?
Yeah, there's stitching.
It's weird because I can see your pubes, so how can it be... No, he's gone.
Stop it.
But he wouldn't, because he's all about safety, isn't he? He's very safe, so I don't think he would do that.
Okay, who isn't safe?
Tiff.
Tiff. Oh, Tiff's
not safe. No,
he's... Tiff will be fine. If they said to Tiff, right, you're going to do this historic race, you've got the choice. You can wear your helmet, or you can not wear your helmet. And instead, you can take coffee with you. He'd just be like, oh, well, there's no comparison. I'm totally taking coffee with me. Yeah, and I'll put it on pole.
Oh, man, and he would as well, without spilling the coffee.
He'd have
What? We've got to tell people about Karun Chandler. Sorry, this is really name-droppy, but we both have worked with Karun, who's a lovely man, and he's staying in this hotel. And we've got to tell people about the mystery of Karun's breakfast.
The PB breakfast.
Because it's been haunting me all day.
Right, we came down for breakfast this morning. Masks on, of course. And in the breakfast hall were a couple of people from the event that I didn't know. Karun's there, eating on his own.
No, we were leaving by the time...
Oh, sorry, yeah, we were already there.
We were done.
We were done and we walked away. And on the way out of the hall, sorry, been a long day... saw Karun to say hi to, and he was just starting what looked like a fairly accessorized breakfast, would you
call it? A healthy breakfast. Like, he wasn't having a massive fryer, but he got like a load of muesli and then a bowl of yogurt, maybe with the fruit compote that you can have off that menu.
Yeah.
And I think he had another cereal, and maybe he had some toast or something. There was a spread.
Two rounds
of
toast.
There was a lot of food on the table to the extent that I assumed someone must be joining him. But that didn't seem to be the case, and we had a quick chat.
While
he was stirring yogurt into his muesli.
Yeah, like he
and had... it was like I was thinking that is a thick paste he is making, a big bowl of thick muesli-based paste. And I was thinking, ooh, that's going to take him a while.
You can't rush that.
No,
and
choke.
Then we left, and all I did is went to my room, got my coat and my rucksack, and walked out. Met you at the car, and we went.
Well, what's surprising is I did delay us. Like, you went straight out to the car, I went to the room to brush my teeth, and then I quickly had a shave of the top of my beard to trim it into shape, so because I thought I was going to be on telly with a beard, not under a mask. That took, I mean,
oh,
4 minutes top. And the weird thing is, you were outside, you would have seen Karun.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't.
And it's odd, but we
arrived. Because it's one in, one out, car. It's the same way in and out car park.
Yeah, he couldn't have snuck by.
No, he couldn't.
So how did he do it? Because we got to the track and we pulled up in the car park.
Yeah.
And he was already there.
We pulled up next to him. We were directed to pull up next to him. He was getting his bag out of the car with his helmet and everything because he was racing. And we were like, we've just walked away from you with a lot of food on the table. And you've beaten us here.
Yeah.
How have you done? And I did want to check the passenger seat of his car for lots of crockery.
Because he is a racing driver.
So
seconds count. So you think, now that is something a racing driver might do. They go, screw it, I'm taking this breakfast with me.
This is just mad.
But there didn't seem to be any evidence of that. So how did he eat all of that food? And I don't think he would have left the food, because why would he have asked for it? And he was joyfully mixing the yogurt into his muesli.
He was
fully intending to eat that.
He was.
So how did he do it?
There's a tactic that we're not familiar with, Rich.
It's a racing driver thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it probably is.
I mean, I did like, we told this to somebody else earlier on, and they suggested that perhaps he can fully dislocate his jaw like a snake.
Like a snake eating
huge
an egg.
Quantities of food in at once, but there's no evidence to support that at all. The racing driver and TV pundit Karun Chandhok can in fact ingest
it's brilliant.
Things
that
are bigger than his own body.
And we love you, Karun.
Yeah, we do. He's a top man. He's a lovely, lovely man, but we are puzzled about his speed breakfast.
What about the manual fuel pump situation we saw this morning?
On that was a Fiat, wasn't it?
Yeah, pre-war.
Pre-war Fiat.
Big old, you know, like the big tall monoposto, whatever you call them, type jobs.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that was, because it's on the outside. You know, those cars where half the controls are on the outside.
Yeah. There was no room inside.
I suppose not.
Imagine that now.
What? just change the stereo. Yes, hang on. I'll wind the window down and reach out.
Yeah. Well, no, imagine if you bought a Cayenne GTS and it just happens to have a quick shift underneath the wing mirror. Like, so you got to drive it with one arm out on the door.
Yeah. Where there's paddles. Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's getting emails. This is so professional.
It is. You know what it is? It is professional, because it's our update for tomorrow. That's what we're doing.
You said you've got to be at the track at 6.
No, I think we've got a bit of a lie-in.
Please give Karun enough notice.
Well, that's the thing. We do want to be at breakfast when Karun's there, because we want to see what he's up to.
I do want to see.
I think he'll distract us. He'll go, oh, look over there, guys. And then you turn around and he's gone, and so is all the food on the plate.
I think with the pandemic situation we're in, you know, there's a lot of one-way systems in place and lots of stickers on the floor and things. Going into the toilet, the gents' toilet, you've got certain urinals that are just blanked off because you're not allowed too close to other people and stuff. I feel like you could do some sort of racy event. You know, like a pit stop where they time the pit stops.
Yeah.
You imagine if you just, you know, racing drivers were loose and maybe there was a massive oil down on the track. You got to entertain the crowds. And when I say entertain the crowds, I'm not sure how to entertain you. You run into
the
jet.
Crowds, so that's okay.
Everyone drinks a litre and a half of water straight away. You, one at a time, run into the gents. Clock starts as soon as you're over the threshold. Straight to the urinal. You wee as quickly as possible. You have to finish. Then you have to wash your hands properly. Dry your hands properly. They get checked for dryness.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're at the threshold of the other end of the door, you know, the one-way system, the clock stops. Bang.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you just know that racing drivers would be up for it, because they just don't...
They would. If you just said, listen, this is the way it's going to go. You fill your bag, as it were.
But didn't you tell me that Tiff is like the power piss king of the whole UK, because he can just go in and, like, again, maybe he can, like, dislocate the end of his penis so enormous amounts of liquid leave. He's like the inverse Karun Chandhok.
Tiff doesn't drink water, you know.
That's why he takes
the Michael out of me.
What, because
you always
water?
Need the toilet because you drink far too much water. It's like, no, Tiff, it's because I'm trying to stay healthy. That's what it is.
Yes, because he's of that generation where you just go, you know, during the average day, would you like some water? No, actually, do you know what? I'll have a handful of sand, please.
Exactly.
No other liquids will pass my lips except strong coffee.
It's strong coffee, and maybe one spoon of silica gel just to stir it in.
Just to make sure that bad boy's not coming out
just
again
to
in liquid
congeal
form.
It, and I'm going to do an endurance race, and then afterwards, when I relieve myself, it's going to look like a sachet of Manuka honey.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Anyway, on to the next subject.
I was going to do another name drop, but it's not a name drop because it's not someone we know, but it's someone we saw. Who I don't know, they must be taking part in something here, because you have to be involved in some way in a sort of staff capacity, don't you? There's no crowd, but we saw Howard Donald out of Take That.
He was taking part.
What was he doing though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Howard's got some tasty cars.
Okay, so maybe one of his cars was...
I know that Chris Harris of Top Gear has raced his 356 at the Revival before. He's got a historic 356, quite a tasty one.
Also, he... I presume Howard, mates with Dario Franchitti.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, well, they did a TV show together. They did Mission Ignition together.
Oh, of course
4.
They did.
And and Dario's here.
Dario is here.
Because he's racing, so maybe...
He's a nice bloke.
He's a nice bloke, isn't he?
He's another top.
Again,
top
annoying. Driver. Handsome, talented racing driver, Dario Franchitti. And then it turns out he's funny and nice
chilled
as
out.
Well. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm just going to go and slam my dick in a door now. Just give
we'll
up.
Just wait till we finish this. And then, or we'll do it at the end as a sort of finale to the show. And now,
yeah, and also, and it's a, actually a very tight-fitting door from what I can see. I think it's fire-resistant. So there's no giving
my, up. The door on my room is tight-fitting, but one of the windows goes da-dunk when lorries drive past. I've noticed on the road, which is not immediately outside, but it's weird.
Was
it's
it
a little
you?
Bit of air pressure thing.
Was it you who said, was it this morning, you said, Cole, you, did you hear someone like seemingly testing a blow-off valve or something outside? Someone pulled into the car park in a fruity car.
Well, no, the first night we were here, I went to bed, you know, it was not super late, I went to bed about 10:30 or something. And then
super late? That's early.
Well, that's what I mean, not super late. It was like, we had work to do the next day, so I went to bed about 10:30, got some sleep, or tried to. But I was just getting off to sleep, and then, because there's a main road goes past here that then becomes a dual carriageway, and first of all I heard something that was very V80 thunder across the roundabout outside and I was like, oh, no. And then a few minutes later something that was, I would guess, four cylindery but quite hot cammy and
high tune,
I go sort of like not that fast change, actually, not like a bike,
yeah.
But kind of quick gear shift.
And you think it's someone doing a last minute R&D?
I was like, these are the people doing shakedown on the dual carriageway, because it felt like, because a lot of those cars are road legal, aren't they?
Yeah, so they are. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I never got to the bottom of it. Sounded good. I mean, it was like, I wasn't fully asleep. It was quite a pleasant thing in a way to be just slightly woken by from near slumber. But yeah, that was sort of like 11 o'clock on the first night. I was going to say about Howard Donald, what I enjoyed about him was that he appeared to be dressed as the caretaker from a school play. So he's wearing like a brown store coat, but it's like no real caretaker dresses like that. He was dressed as a comedy caretaker. I don't
well,
know
like
why.
A sort of Mary Poppins spec.
Yeah, and he's got, I mean, he just needed a broom and to be sort of doing a load of broom work, but like it's too intricate. No one really brooms like that. It's just like, you know, you've got to tone it down a bit, mate, if you want to be realistic.
I thought, yeah, it is a funny old event. You do see very familiar people just walking by, and you realise that it's. In fact, I saw Nick Mason.
Oh, did you?
Of course, yeah.
And you saw Rowan Atkinson as well, did you?
I didn't see Rowan Atkinson, but I saw his car, and the marshals that we got talking to were showing us pictures of Mark II Cortinas. They
yes.
saw him,
oh, okay.
And one of them asked him for a photo. And he said no.
Please don't.
Yeah, maybe politely just went, no, I'm sorry, no.
Not really. Not what he
it's do. Not his bag.
No, it's not. He's quite private and quiet and shy.
He is quite a quiet guy,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, that's fair enough. He's, you know, he's if he's on, he's on. He's performing to a script. And
yeah.
If he's off duty, he's not going to.
I tell you what, when he's off duty, he's driving a Plymouth Barracuda. Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah, no, it's good. When did you see Jackie Stewart?
When they were, what time would it have been? Oh, I don't know.
Because I didn't see him at all, but it must have been.
Well,
you went to get a coffee.
I went to go to the toilet, then get a coffee, and when I came out of the toilets, I saw all the 70s Formula One cars, and they were striking them up. So I took a couple of pickies because, you know, JPS livery and all that sexy stuff. And then I saw the back of the Tartan Man. Uh-huh. And
the producer who's looking after us, because we're being treated semi like proper TV presenters, so we've got an assigned producer who looks after us, and I think he's basically in a state of constant despair at the fact that we're either always getting a coffee or having a piss, and the two things might be a bit linked.
Well, they're completely linked, aren't they?
But yeah, whenever he's like, right, okay, I'm going to need you guys to go to the, oh, hang on, where's the other one gone? Oh, he's gone for a piss.
Well, every time I go for a coffee I end up getting bumping into someone that I haven't seen for ages.
Yeah.
I know, so well connected.
I know. Well, this is, you know, this is the world we inhabit, isn't it? Is cars. And you don't do it for a long time and not get to meet a few
lovely,
not like
guys.
Famouses, just as the other people we haven't even mentioned because you wouldn't know their names, probably. But Rory, we saw Rory today, weren't we? Not Rory Reid off the telly, the other Rory. Nice Rory.
Yeah, the Rory.
In the paddock, and yeah, it's all good. What else have we seen? It's just.
What did I wanted to talk to you about something, like an observation today.
It's really annoyed me. One of my take homes from today has actually not been totally linked with Goodwin. It's been the fact that apparently you can become a friend of Bewley Motor Museum. And what I find intriguing about that is that by implication you can also become an enemy of Bewley Motor Museum and get involved in some kind of vicious spat with them.
Do you think there is like museum mafia?
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced of
it. So like certain, like the Peterson Museum has its like firm.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're like the Sharks and the Jets, you know, because they're in America, aren't they? They're all clicking and vertical. All... That horizontal dance movie type stuff.
They do that down the street outside the Peterson Museum.
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, well, we're just keeping a watch in case some of those bastards from Jay Leno's collection come by. Sort of thing. I don't know.
And they're rivals. They're like, I've seen you've curated a new display. I don't like the display. Yeah.
Would be a shame if something was to happen to it. Someone was to draw a cock and balls on one of the curation notices that described some more details about this Boatel Riviera.
Or we just changed some of the facts about it so they're incorrect.
Yeah, they printed it out in the correct typeface, but it's got loads of incorrect information. It's going to could severely damage your credibility if that was to happen.
And then, unfortunately, if you look on TripAdvisor, there's at least six people that haven't enjoyed their day at the museum.
Well, hang on, did you write these? I have done. Getting calls in the middle of the night going, is that Johnny Smith? Yes. Are you putting on a voice? No. We just want to say, you're rubbish and your curation's rubbish as well. By the way, this is the Gaydon Motor Museum. And then they hang up and you ring up Gaydon. You go, did you ring me last night? No, why? Someone rang up and said it was you. Oh. Yeah, we've been getting this a lot, actually. We think it's probably Bewley putting on a voice. We've got a bit of spat going on. So, I tell you what, could you do us a favour? Look, you know, if you want to try and settle this score, could you write an article for a magazine where you say that Hispano Suizas are shit? Because they've got loads of them and we've got none because we just do British cars. So you really take them down a peg if you just, you know... Just say that. Just
keep it real.
Yeah. Say that Railtons are for knobs because we haven't got any of those either. And we think they've got one.
Railtons are for
knobs. We looked at Railtons today.
We did look at Railtons today.
A straight eight, which I didn't realise.
So yes. That was I'd love a straight eight.
I'd like to hear what it sounds like.
Very, very quiet.
Do you think they're smooth?
Yeah. They are.
Well, no, but hang on, because a straight six is inherently smooth because your firing pulses and you know, it's all about the balance of that and when it happens. Eight, you're throwing extra into the mix because V8s, obviously you've got different configurations of crank, haven't you? But like V8s are not
smooth.
Also
the forces are moving in opposite directions, not totally opposite, but
yeah, that's I suppose so. Yeah. Oh yes, yes. Okay, so the forces are all moving in the same direction broadly in line.
Has anybody out there got a straight eight? Could you start a half decent microphone, like the one? I mean, we're recording on half decent microphones. Something like this. Could you just record it?
I'd take a phone recording at this stage. You know, just get a sense.
Phone
in fact,
recording.
I've just realised we could look up on YouTube. I bet there's something on there of straight eight startup. You won't believe what my Railton sounds like. I've just bought a Railton, guys.
Have you though?
No, I don't. I don't think influencers buy.
I'd love it if the influencers were to buy veteran cars.
Just keep buying vintage.
Hi guys, I've bought my 1908, whatever it is.
Should I have my Napier wrapped? What?
Yeah, you should.
But there's not much bodywork to it, if I'm honest. So get it yourself out. Mate. Yes, you roll of wrapping
paper.
I was
thinking of changing the tiller steer system.
I'm having the wire wheels on my Fraser Nash chromed. Oh, actually, they are chromed.
What about,
really.
No, I'm having wooden spoked ones. I'm thinking of upgrading to metal spokes. What do you think? What do you think? I mean, it'd be brilliant. Imagine London to Brighton turned into the Gumball 3000.
Man. What about? I just realised.
So you've got loads of girls dancing, strobe lights at the start, a little bit of gangster rap.
Well, no, but what if they've
Jay-Z's
gone
Jay-Z's there.
They've all gone like sort of like steampunk, but kind of they've all gone like Edwardian cosplay. So they're all, instead of wearing, like, what do influencers wear? They all seem to wear, like, tracky bottoms and things, don't they?
Yeah, but there'll be a mashup, like
you say. They dress quite sharp.
Sort of Industrial Revolution clothing.
Yeah, they're all wearing those big floppy, like, you know, Peaky Blinders hats. And
yeah.
And in fact, if they're going to go really authentic, they're no longer talking into their phone. They've got a man with a camera and a... one of those powder flashes that takes ages to or like a courtroom artist who just follows around and does like a series of sketches of what they're doing and then they put it together like a flip book.
I'd absolutely love it if supercar influencers, there was some sort of governmental ban. It was like, for the next year you're not allowed to allowed to video any modern supercars.
Only by pre-1908 cars.
Okay, so, and you've got to learn. I think it will become huge entertainment.
I think it might, yeah.
I'm trying to think of all those really old, you know, the bygone era when, sort of the gold rush of the car industry, when there were loads of small car companies.
It's mental. For something I was writing, I had reason to look up defunct British car manufacturers.
Yeah.
And there's just a list on Wikipedia. There's dozens. Oh my God. And some of them you've never heard of at all. They're just like, you go, they must have made four cars. And some of them, as you know, they were quite successful until 1911 when their factory burned down.
Yeah.
Or something.
And here we have the 1904 Prigtees and Carnaby.
There are some quite funny names.
Go look at one. There was Something and Onions. I know the one that was.
Yes.
One. Which is the one that's Something and Onions?
Beef and onions.
No, it's just...
Hang on. Keep talking.
It's a flavour of crisp. Oh, yeah, it's not that. Sorry, beef and onions.
It might be. It's not. I mean, yes, okay, it's not.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my channel. I've got this really awful kind of motorised wheelchair type thing with Dillersteer.
Look at this.
Mahogany wheels.
So, well, just at a random, Albany. From 1903 to 1905, they existed. For some reason, in brackets after, it says Steam. Hi, guys. So, thinking of having it converted to run on coal instead of wood. What do you think? Don't forget to smash that like telegram that you have to send me. Because I can't do modern shit anymore.
Hi, guys. Thanks ever so much to everyone who's flown a pigeon to me with a message. They all landed at the house. Ooh. And I've got lots of really well trained pigeons. I'll send them back as soon as I can.
We just had a telegram come through. Let's see what it says. Like, stop. Oh well, that's good. I found your onions, people. Mince and onions. All days and onions.
All days and onions. See, I've seen an all days and onions.
Have
car.
You? They lasted from 1898 until 1918.
See, I've seen an all days and onions, and I thought, what a cracking name for a car company. And you know what? You know when these old car company names get bought up and resurrected?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to use the heritage of all days and onions. Well, but what I'm going to do is turn it into a body-kitted Porsche Cayenne with the batteries, with the badges
exactly
removed.
Disrespect there.
And you go, hang on a minute, is that a Cayenne? No.
No, it's not.
It's an All Days and Onions. What?
I mean, at best, All Days and Onions sounds like a greengrocer's chain.
Or a little chef that's trying to reinvent.
What, one of those old little chefs that you see. You can spot them a mile off, can't you? An old little chef that's been repurposed. And the lucky ones get to be like a Starbucks or something. So it feels like they've still got a thriving business inside because people like coffee. But some of them are a bit sad. They've become an independent cafe and they look a bit struggly.
I know. It is a bit sad, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And you think, oh, the glory days of clean your plate, get a
lollipop. I once tried to... I'm not going to say that. So I'll move on to the next one.
Okay. Well, we'll just let people imagine what you were going to say.
Yes.
I was just going to tell you that All Days and Onions has a fantastic and proper deep heritage. The name comes from the merging of two engineering businesses, Onions, which was formed by John Onions in 1650.
What, an engineering company in 1650?
Well, yeah, what were they engineering in 1650? Horses or something? I suppose there was a bit of engineering. It was probably, when was the Industrial Revolution? A lot later than that, yeah.
The mid-1800s, yeah. late 1800s?
Well, I was working up to it. And the William Alday and Company, formed by William Alday in 1720, joining together, and there we go, Industrial Revolution post that, joined together in 1889 under the ownership of the Aldays and Onions Pneumatic Engineering Company Limited. You're going to debase all this with some body-kitted Porsche Cayennes.
Can you imagine the next Fast and Furious film? Again, strictly veteran vehicles. You've got Dwayne the Rock in an All Days and Onions. You got Vin Diesel's in some sort of steam-powered... Go on then, name another really strange name. What's Vin Diesel driving?
Okay, let's find something that's from...
Vin Diesel pulls up at the lights, obviously using nothing but a block of wood that's just trapping onto the wheel because there aren't proper brakes available.
It's just... yeah, he tries to do a handbrake turn and the wood blocks catch fire.
So silly.
There's loads of them. Arnold. God, just pick one. Arnold. A company called Arnold. They only existed from 1896 to 1898. Which... wow. I was going to say before, you know when you were saying about the outside fuel pump of that old Fiat, which was a sort of...
manual fuel. It looks like an umbrella that you just...
yeah, and
you
keep it all like a sort of telescopic handbrake. Or the height adjuster on some car seats where, you know, you can pull out a little telescopic thing and...
oh, yeah.
I can't remember which cars used to have that.
Mercedes.
Did they? Okay.
The orthopaedic seat?
No, just a height adjuster, but to get the leverage, they let you extend the lever. I can't remember. There's a car that definitely had that. But it was obviously not a height adjustable seat on that Fiat because he was... fuck-arsing around with it for ages because they were trying to get it going when they were trying to bump start it, basically.
Oh, he's pumping fuel in.
And he kept reaching out and pumping it. Yeah. And
it did look like a telescope.
But I was watching them, all those lot going around in those vintage cars and just thinking, you're busy in a vintage car, aren't you?
You were very busy.
It's a busy
job.
It's
a physical drive.
You never just sit back and... it's always something to do. You've got to fiddle with your retard of your ignition or your hand throttle or whatever. There's just always a job to do in there.
Old Bugattis, what were the original ones? The Type 35?
Yeah, I think there was a Type 35 out there today, wasn't there?
There were three.
Oh, were there?
And they're all fully manual fuel pumps. So as you're racing... and you're trying to go as quick as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and cease sawing away at the wheel. You have to actually remember every however many seconds to pump.
Seconds? Oh, because, yeah, I suppose it's fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're driving flat out.
Jesus Christ. I mean, the fuel pump in a car is running all the time. So you've got to sub in for that.
Race.
Oh, my God.
Race. So it's not just... yeah.
Wow.
And imagine Ken Block doing veteran Gymkhana... just be amazing.
Sir Kenneth Block.
It would
Edwardian
be Kenneth Block.
Stunt driver.
Edwardian. Yeah, it
Edwardian.
Would be.
Edwardian. It would be. I think that's Auto Tricks. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
1911 to 1914.
Well, it's a car company. Yeah. Auto Tricks.
Auto Tricks. T-R-I-X, though.
Actually, that sounds like a modern...
Autotricks.
That sounds like a Hoonigan contender.
I know, it's odd, isn't it? It's Autotrix, or Autotrix, was a British three-wheeled cycle car manufactured by Edmunds Wadden & Co. in Weybridge, Surrey, between 1911 and 1914. Yeah,
Auto
there you go.
Autotrix.
Didn't see any Autotrixes today, or many of those, but I don't... that's the thing. So the other thing we did today, of course, is we went and looked at all that stuff that's going through the Bonhams auction, and I realised that my knowledge of... pre-war cars, pre-Second World War cars generally is pretty sketchy because there are all those things that we were looking at and going, oh, well, I know that's a Bentley, but then I absolutely know jack diddly shite about it after that if it's not one of those blowers that everybody...
yeah.
Wolf Bonato and all that thing. All of those Bentley boys, by the way, none of them were using their real names. I realised that it's bizarre, but they all
pseudonyms.
Well, no, they're just there's people who sort of for some inexplicable reason all use their
favourite
middle names and stuff like that.
Is it because they were kind of superheroes of their day, or that's maybe the way they thought about it?
Well, I imagine it's probably
They were brave. They were foolhardy.
I mean,
They were living life to the fullest, weren't they?
Racing trains and all that sort of malarkey.
Yeah,
yeah.
All that kind of madness.
Yeah, I've got.
What would your Bentley boy name have been?
What you're saying? I can't just be Richard Porter.
No, not good enough. No, try again. No. Well, you'd be a Dick Porter for a start.
Oh yeah, Dicky Porter.
Dicky
Ticker.
But we'd have to have an ornate middle name.
Well, so Wolf Bonato. His real first name was Joel.
Joel?
Tim Birkin.
Yes.
That wasn't his
real
name.
He's a really, really good film director, isn't he?
No, that's... Ridley Scott.
Well, he was a Bentley boy.
Also, I was looking this up because I'd written an article once. I just looked at my own article here. Wolf Bonato, which I've said in this article might be the coolest name in history, but his real name was Joel. Wolf Bonato's mother was called Fanny Bees. Look it up, I promise.
As in
B-E-E-S.
Fanny Bees.
Fanny Bees, which sounds like it could be an R&B artist.
I was just about to say Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Baby D.
Baby D, let me be
Fanny
your
Bees, let
Bentley.
Let me be your Fanny Bees.
What? I mean, I... Yeah. I can't remember where we're going with this. And
well,
does it even matter?
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. But no, I was going to say, no, that's the thing. It's something that I sort of...
I'm not used to staring at you while we chat.
It's weird, isn't it?
This is all new for us, guys.
It is a bit weird. And no, what I was going to say is that...
used to being in my spare room in lots of dishevelled mess and wearing slippers.
Yeah, in our spare room. And I look out the window and there's just a tree. There's some trees behind the house and I could just see the trees and a squirrel in them sometimes. It's quite odd looking at you rather than a distant squirrel.
Many things.
Yeah, well, that could be your Bentley boy name, the distant squirrel.
Of course.
Why are you distant? Because I'm always driving very fast away from you.
Distant squirrel.
Distant squirrel, because mysterious, isn't it? You go, there's a bit to dissect in that name.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Okay, we'll write that down. Good. All I was going to say is that with that Lagonda we were looking at the Bonhams auction, the V12 one from 1939.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that those Lagondas were designed by W.O. Bentley because he'd left his own company in a fit of pique because they'd been bought by Rolls-Royce and he didn't like what was happening after that.
No.
So he buggered off and he went and joined Lagonda to spite them, and he designed this beautiful V12 for racing and the road. And then the Second World War happened and kind of...
He's a hell of an engineer.
Yeah. It was a lovely car, that Lagonda. It was one of the nice ones in that sort of pre-war thing. But yeah, I don't really know much about pre-war cars.
As I get a little older, I think I get more impressed... And I'll probably devote a bit more time to pre-war engineering.
It's probably quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some of it.
Because my brother, that's his bag.
Because that's his...
And he will always go, listen, Johnny, don't muck around with, you know, in his words, 60s toss. Just go, you know, it's just no point when you look at how a 30s car's made.
Is it because it's all metal and... brass and stuff, and it's just
and everything you can dismantle properly.
Yeah, because they hadn't worked out how to cut corners and save money at that point.
No, there's no built-in obsolescence.
Legit, yeah. And I mean, I can see the appeal, definitely.
Yeah, but I suppose it's
not enough to drive around in one. But
listen,
you know, I was staggered that you could get that very grand old Rolls Royce from the 20s for 50 grand or something in that auction, which I know is still a lot of money, but it's
a 100-year-old Rolls Royce.
100-year-old car, and it's like it's a Rolls Royce, and it is very beautiful. I gather the engineering is exquisite in those things, and you know, genuinely is sort of the best in the world and all that. But I couldn't imagine having one. I mean,
just
definitely
couldn't park it
on the street.
Just book it straight in with Singer.
To do what with, though? Like, make it look even older than it is? Because that's what they do. They take 90s cars and make them look like they're sort of 20, 25 years older. So,
I'd summarise it. I'd have Bluetooth hidden somewhere. I'd have launch control.
Launch control.
I'd have LEDs put into the old lanterns.
Could
on
you
the
have
front.
Like have sat nav, but like a really sort of steampunk sat nav where there's like some kind of parchment that you wind to see the map?
I'd love that.
And a voice coming out of on a gramophone horn.
Yeah.
Kindly turn right, if it wouldn't be too much trouble.
Would you mind
awfully going straight ahead at the roundabout?
Roundabout. I think steampunk resto mod could be a thing.
There you go. And then you get the influencers on board, like you were saying.
Hi, guys.
Audience influencers.
Hi, guys. I've bought another very unknown car.
What ho, guys?
With
ahoy, hoy, guys.
Yeah. That's going to be a thing, I'm telling you.
Well, it is now. You've invented it. You should have copyrighted it.
Yeah, before you know it, I'll ask around.
Well, we've seen some influencers today, haven't we? So
yeah, I might drop the word.
We're working with an influencer, sort of. So
yeah, we know the next big thing's totally going to be
Edwardian resto Mothwang.
Or you could just combine all of this in a slightly deranged way and ask Singer to turn a Porsche 964 into an Edwardian Porsche 911 of some sort, and they would probably go, Johnny, in all serious, think you need to get some sleep.
I think, I know we've mentioned Singer a few times in previous podcasts. I know. We very much like what they do, about. And yeah, we like the guys behind it. They've done some fantastic stuff. But I do honestly think that if we're not careful here, guys, the 964 is going to be the rarest air-cooled 911.
It's true, yeah.
Because they get rest you're constantly butchering them. But, you know, butchering them well, don't get me wrong. But when was the last time you saw just a vanilla 964?
But also, it slightly winds me up that most 964s, I would say, that you see for sale, it's a majority of them that are early ones, which I think look mega on those, they're called Design 90 wheels, and with the flat door mirrors.
Yeah.
At some point in their lives, everybody's gone, oh, they look nicer with the later wheels on them and the aero-shaped door mirrors, and they've switched them out. And actually, now they don't. They just look like they've been messed with. And I like an early 964, absolutely. And also amber indicators, because people put clear indicators on against. No need. It was fashionable at the time, but just stop it now. Put them back. And I love a 964, but there was that one in the auction today, which it's supposed to look like a 70s one, and it's not as good as a Singer. It's just not. And it's actually a 964. And you're right, yeah, they're just butchering 964s, which never sold that well because they arrived around the time of financial crisis.
If anyone's
crisis.
Listening, look.
Is anyone never, left listening?
I've never, there won't be anyone. If anyone has a 964 and they just want it to go to a good home, money's not really the priority here.
No.
I've never owned a 911. I feel like the boat has sailed.
You can have a 966, 996, sorry.
I don't want a 996. Although,
They're all right.
Look, don't get me wrong, they're all right. And they are going to become collectible because they're the first of their breed. And people keep turning them down on the basis they're not air-cooled. What I keep saying is the first of everything is always going to be desirable eventually. They're the first of the water.
I always feel like with 911s, though, it's the last of, isn't it? Oh, it was the last one to be air-cooled. Oh, it was the last one to have hydraulic steering. Oh, it was the last one to have a fucking dog in it. No, that doesn't make any sense. I need to get to bed soon. It's a good point. No, they will. I'm sure they will. Everything comes into its own. Because once upon a time, you could barely give 964s away. Everyone thought they would plop and...
Like old hat.
Yeah.
Well, I want one. Well, I would like one, please. And if not, what I'll do is we are going to make a ghetto Boxster.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get one that's been mechanically maintained to the nth degree, but someone's sort of slowly driven up the side of a hotel with it or something. You know, like they've misjudged a parking space and they've just scrunched one side.
You think that somebody who is absolutely scrupulous about mechanical maintenance
lent it to a valet parking
has somehow is an absolute Mr. Magoo when it comes to manoeuvring,
yes,
and isn't unconcerned about panel damage,
or sort of left the handbrake on off it and it slowly rolled down out of the golf course. You know, kind of like smeared down the side of a very mature oak tree.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So one side is rippled and scrunchy. And as a result, the insurance company's gone, well, that was a sort of $6,000 or $7,000 car.
No, it's...
I'm afraid it's 800 quid, no one cares.
Yeah. It'll happen.
But it's not so jagged that you can't drive it anymore.
No, it's not gone like a parallelogram where you don't really drive properly, whatever you do.
No.
I don't know. I said I was thinking about selling my 911 because it feels like we don't go that many places. I don't go that many places at the moment because of COVID and things. And I was just like, it's silly. I got it going again. You know, the battery was flat for months, and I got a new battery in it, and it's fine. And came down here in it, and it's lovely. But it feels like it's a silly thing to have, and we don't really need it. And I happened to mention this to my wife, and she went, "But I love that car with a little wobbly bottom."
Did she really?
Yeah. Oh,
Oh my gosh, she's a keeper.
And that's weird because it's like, you know, I could get rid of my Defender and she wouldn't give a flying toss, but it's because she drives the Porsche and she really loves it, and yeah.
Oh, you see.
So now I can't, which I kind of feel is, I don't know. Well, it's not missing.
Okay, do you prefer it to your Defender?
Well, they're different, aren't they?
But if I said to you, you've got to sell one of them, the wolves are at the door.
Porsche.
We would.
Because I could get another one. That's the one thing about the 911 is sort of odd, isn't it? They're not rare cars. They are out there. It's purely Do you have the amount of money that is being asked for the given one that you want to buy? Yes, then you can buy it, and if not, there'll be a similar one along. Unless you go something super rare, and they're very expensive.
You could sell it tonight, and then go into the Bonhams auction tomorrow.
Buy what? Everything was like 200 grand.
No. You could buy that Mark 1 Fiesta track day car.
That was still like 30 to 40 grand.
Yeah, it was 30 to 40.
But if I went home and went, now, I've got some bad news. I have sold the Porsche. But don't worry, I've bought a Mark 1 Fiesta saloon car racing replica.
That isn't road registered.
And I know you loved driving the Porsche when you went places, so now you're going to be doing that, but in what to you will look like a tiny car from the 70s with one seat in it, no other interior.
What, with loads of advertisements?
And it's got adverts for things that don't exist anymore all down the side.
And we all go, ooh,
it's probably got All Days and Onions written down.
Oh, of course it has. Well. Do you know, I can't. Every time I think of Bonham's Auction House, I think, like John Bonham, the drummer from Led Zeppelin. And then I think, I'd love it if Robert Plant was to be like, do you know what? Fuck you.
I'm going to start
auctioning stuff. I've opened up a place down the road. So Plant's in on it.
Bonham's got in on the auction game. Cheeky twat. I'm going to do it as well. Plant's Auctions.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Jimmy Page.
Yes.
Well, Page is like, I've had enough.
Yeah, but I think he's gone in for more being like an eBay power seller of bracelets and things for some reason.
Oh yeah, wind chimes. Yeah. Paige.
Yeah.
Paige is doing it. He's doing the auction thing.
Yeah.
Which just leaves John Paul Jones.
Yeah, who's not interested because he's got a minicab business.
John Paul Jones isn't interested. He says, look, if I've got a bit too much clutter, just do a car boot. Just keep it nice and simple.
He's constantly down the car boot with a pile of gold discs.
And you're like, hang on a minute. Where have you got all this Led Zeppelin stuff from? This is quite valuable gear.
Well, because I'm in Led... Oh, don't worry about it. I'll tell you later.
I'll tell you another day, mate. That's fine. Another day.
Yeah, it's a good business idea.
So Bonhams, watch out. That's the moral of this story.
Yeah, because the rest of Led Zepp are going to come honestly, and steal your lunch.
Robert Plant Auctions is going to undercut you.
Yeah, and don't think that being dead will get you out of this bizarre fantasy situation that we've somehow walked into. We should probably wind this up because apart from anything else, I think we're both very tired. It is getting quite late.
And the decor in this room is so pre-internet.
Yeah, it is. It started to make me believe that none of these computers are actually going to work in here. But also, yeah, I have to get back to my extremely bleak room and make the slow walk across my massive floor space to my quite small bed.
Listen, take the keys to my All Days and Onions and just...
If we were going to do merch for this podcast, rather than have Smith and Sniff stickers, I think we just have little All Days and Onions stickers. And if you see one on a car, you kind of just know... People go,
I love that.
It's a Smith and Sniff listener because look, they've got All Days and Onions stickers.
Well, listen, listeners, thank you very much for listening. There was a lot of the word.
I've been Johnny All Days and I've been Richard Onions. There's probably a bit of a change in future. I just thought of that.
I just want to say thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't already given us a good star rating, apparently that's important, please do that. And comment. We love the comments. They're always funny. They're always insightful. I'm Johnny Onions.
I'm Richard All Days. We do love the comments, and I was going to say we do actually have an email address, but I'm just in two minds about whether to give it out.
Do we?
Yeah. You didn't know that. Yeah, we've got an email address.
Sugar, do we?
Yeah, people can probably work it out.
Okay.
It's alldays.and.onions.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's Smith and Sniff, all written out in letters at gmail.com. So if you're so minded to send us an email, something you'd like us to talk about on the show, then please do trouble my junk box with it and I'll...
Trouble my junk box? Is this some sort of R&B record? Trouble my junk.
That's the name of my second album. in under my pseudonym of Fanny Bees.
Well, Fanny Bee featured Fanny on the Bees, record.
Anyway, I'm not going to repeat it. You'll have to rewind it before I get that email address Smith, again, because I'm a bit Smith worried about us getting inundated with
Smith and Sniff at gmail.com. On a serious note, if you think we should make some merchandise, even if it's just very discreet car stickers, then let us know, because we have thought about it on the run up to Christmas.
It's weird doing this live because you're here in the room with me. Normally I'm doing it down the end of a line, so it feels somehow like I don't have to look you in the eye whilst I promote your stuff and my stuff, but here we go anyway. I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. Please stop doing that, it's revolting. Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. I'm not going to tell you the name because he's trying to put me off. It's called... You'll have to find it. It's called The All Days and Onions. Car testing. Parchment. Two, I still have a book out. I won't say the name of that because you're bored of hearing it, but I am also still trying to finish the sequel, which will be out quite soon. And the third thing I have to tell you is that we're both very tired and slightly giddy, and I apologise in advance that I haven't prepared a piece of trivia to tack on the end of the show this week because we've been
busy. I know what it is.
Go on.
True or false?
There was a car true or false? All Days and Onions.
True or false? Jackie Stewart wears a tartan body stocking, or is it a full body tattoo?
Answers on a postcard, please don't send them to the email address. But that's it for this unusual edition of Smith and Sniff, in which we were actually in the same room. We'll be back to normal service next time, I guess, but in the meantime, thank you ever so much for listening, and we will see you very soon. Good night.
Thank you.
This is just tired laughing.
I'm shutting it off.